Well, the new Sacramento Kings head coach was temporarily the Golden State Warriors head coach last night. Mike Brown coaching the Golden State Warriors as Steve Kerr entered COVID protocols, getting them the win in game four, taking a 3-1 series lead over the Memphis Grizzlies. But we don't care about that. Mike Brown is soon to be the Kings head coach. So what can Mike Brown do for the Sacramento Kings? To give us the perspective on what he can bring and what he will bring from the Golden State Warriors to Sacramento is my guy Bonte Hill. He's a television and radio personality covering the Golden State Warriors for 95.7 The Game in NBC Sports Bay Area. Bonte, nice enough to spend some time with me here on Locked On Kings. Give us an idea of Mike Brown. Is he the best head coach that the Kings have had already since Rick Adelman? It's on today's episode of the Locked On Kings podcast.
You are Locked On Kings, your daily Sacramento Kings podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, it is that time. Time for another episode of Locked On Kings.
Hello and welcome into Locked On Kings, your podcast hub for Sacramento Kings coverage all regular season and all off season. If you're looking for in-depth analysis, game-by-game breakdowns, highlights, interviews with local and national experts, full coverage of your Sacramento Kings from January through December, this is the place for you, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. And today's episode is brought to you by Prize Picks. Check out prizepicks.com, use promo code NBA, or go to your app store and download the app today. Prize Picks is daily fantasy made easy. My name is Matt George. I have the privilege of being your host here. Just wrapped up my eighth season covering Kings basketball. Looking forward to season number nine. Currently work for ABC 10 News in Sacramento. And very excited to bring on my guest for the first time ever here on Locked On Kings, even though he's someone who I've followed for a while. His work that he does in the Bay Area covering not just the Golden State Warriors, but the San Francisco 49ers, San Francisco Giants, Oakland A's. Bonte Hill joining me on Locked On Kings. Finally getting this man on, and what better time to get him on then after the Kings hired another Golden State Warriors assistant coach, Mike Brown, coming here to Sacramento. Although Brown, a bit of a different background than the other Kings assistants, Warriors assistants that the Kings have hired in the past. Bonte is going to share with us a ton of information about what Mike Brown brought to the Golden State Warriors, why he feels Mike Brown can and will be successful with the Golden State Warriors. Plus, we're going to talk a little bit about Rick Adelman, former Kings head coach, and why Mike Brown could be and maybe already is the best head coach the Kings have had since Rick Adelman was fired in 2006. Plus, at the very end of this podcast, after my conversation with Bonte Hill, I have a couple of articles or snippets of articles that I wanted to read from you published in the Sacramento Bee that were written about Rick Adelman when he took the Sacramento job. And there's kind of a tone that is very similar in a lot of ways to Mike Brown being hired right now when Adelman was hired. So drawing some more similarities there. But that's all after my conversation right now with 95.7 The Game's and NBC Sports Bay Area Warriors pre- and post-game host Bonte Hill. The Sacramento Kings and their fans are going to have to wait a little bit longer for Mike Brown to be their head coach, because as of right now, all of a sudden, Mike Brown is the head coach of the Golden State Warriors in the playoffs. Joining me right now, Bonte Hill from not only Bay Area Radio 95.7 The Game, but also see him on a pre- and post-game for the Warriors. He's enjoying covering a playoff team. I'm jealous of you for that, Bonte. Hopefully one day with Mike Brown bringing his expertise from Golden State to Sacramento, we'll be able to say that. But first time on Locked On Kings, hopefully first of many. It's a pleasure to have you on, my man.
Man, it's good to tap in with Kings fans and you, Matt. You've been doing a great job, and I respect everybody who covers the Sacramento Kings, man. You guys have a loyal media base, a loyal fan base. And I remember the good old days, man, when Sac was humming, and they were always on NBA on NBC and always on TNT, and the Warriors were on the outside looking in. And I was jealous, like, damn, look at the Kings and Kings fans taking over Oracle Arena in Oakland. You know, the Kings have a proud fan base, man, and I hope this is the start of something special, because they truly, truly deserve a playoff run. Golden 1 Center is beautiful. That fan base is beautiful. So hopefully the good old days is coming up for the Sacramento Kings and their fan base.
I just want to know who in NorCal pissed off the basketball gods to where the Kings and Warriors can't be good at the same time. Like, it's either one or the other. One of these days we'll get a playoff series between the two, and I-80 will be just a war zone.
You know, I thought we were getting close a few years ago. I thought we were getting close, and we were hyping that up, and You know, I'm sure you know Casey and D'Lo. Shout out to them on ESPN 1320, Matt. We're trying to come up with trophy ideas. I was thinking we take a slab of I-80 and just mold that baby and call it the Kings Warriors Invitational. I don't know. Something creative. But I thought we were getting close to that. And it really is fascinating that the Kings, the only time they made the playoffs were basically when the Warriors stunk. And the only times the Warriors are making the playoffs is when the Kings stink. So we're going to get one of those series. And it's going to be bedlam if that ever happens.
Well, hell, with the amount of road work going on I-80 around Sacramento, I know where you can get that slab to at least make that trophy. But, Bonte, like, Mike Brown is obviously very well respected around the league, very successful if you look at his overall coaching record, mainly from his time in Cleveland, coaching a guy named LeBron James, although that roster, other than LeBron, wasn't necessarily the sexiest. Also spent a little bit of time coaching Kobe in L.A. So there's natural skepticism of, okay, Mike Brown's coming to Sacramento. He's also an assistant coach, whether it's Steph Curry, Klay Thompson, Draymond Green, that established system. He's coming to Sacramento where not only do they, and I say only here to be fair, only have De'Aaron Fox and Domantas Sabonis because they're impressive players, but Sacramento's culture has been one of losing for 16 years that has affected so many coaches, so many players, even general managers at this point. It's like, why is Mike Brown going to be the one to change things and fix things up here? From your understanding of who Mike Brown is, why do you think he can be successful in Sac?
Well, let's look at the LeBron Cavaliers situation first and foremost. Paul Silas gets fired. Mike Brown gets a job. And they flipped that program. Like, they were a first, second-round team to all of a sudden being the best team in the league. I mean, you named it, LeBron James, and not a lot of people can name other players. Not a lot of people know about Sasha Pavlovich and Zydrunas Elgoskis and Wally Szczerbiak at times. And Mo Williams was a lone all-star that he played with, who was an all-star replacement. They didn't have a lot of talent on that Cleveland team yet. LeBron James and Mike Brown, I believe, led that team to the promised land. Finals appearance where they shouldn't have been in the finals. They ended the Detroit Pistons under Ben Wallace and Rip Hamilton and Chauncey Billups. And, of course, Rasheed Wallace, they ended that whole reign. They made some runs. They had the best record in the league. They fell short to the Celtics a couple times. So I think Mike Brown deserves a lot of credit for that. LeBron leaves, and all of a sudden Cleveland goes down the drain, and Mike Brown gets fired. The Lakers situation was tough. I mean, Kobe was aging at that point. Lakers were trying to catch lightning in a bottle. They were cooked. It wasn't a raw, it was kind of a raw deal for Mike to even get the job. And then he gets fired, a couple weeks into the season. I don't think that was fair at all. And now he's been able to sit back and learn under Steve Kerr and sit on the sideline of great talent. And so far he's undefeated when filling in for Steve Kerr, right? 13-0 on the sideline, 12-0 if you look at the media guide. Some people have it at 13-0. The fact is he hasn't lost a game while filling in for Steve Kerr. So the person, Mike Brown, is a great dude who Sacramento needs. He's going to light up the building. He's going to smile ear to ear. He's not going to just tell people what they want to hear. He's going to be real with you. He's going to be honest with you about what they're looking for and where they're at in their process. So, look, I thought all the candidates, Steve Clifford, I'm kind of out on him. I thought, you know, Charlotte was a good story, but then he goes to Orlando. They go nowhere. Mark Jackson, for that fan base, look, I like Mark Jackson. I think he did a lot for the Golden State Warriors. I just don't think the Sacramento Kings needed a hire like that. You know, you got to look at the PR. You got to appease your fan base. You hire Mark Jackson and, man, all of a sudden season ticket sales go down. So you don't want to risk that, the business of basketball. It could hurt your business hiring a Mark Jackson. So Mike Brownson, I'm not going to say a safe hire, but he's a good dude who's going to be great in the community, and he's going to get the best out of this team. Now, let's be real. In the NBA, you need talent. Without talent in the NBA, you're going to get cooked. Bill Jackson without talent couldn't get the Lakers out the first round, even with Kobe Bryant. All right. Without talent, no NBA coach is anything. You need talent, and you need to have that psychology of meshing with your superstars. And I think that's where Mike Brown can really help the Sacramento Kings. He's going to mesh with De'Aaron Fox, and he's going to mesh with Davion Mitchell. And that's the start of it. You want to start with your megastar up there in Sacramento and De'Aaron Fox, your max player. He's going to mesh with Davion Mitchell because Mike Brown is. After all seeing the Warriors bomb all these threes and play offense at a high level, he is a defensive-minded coach coming from the Popovich system, learning under Greg Popovich. So Davion Mitchell is going to be a dream for him to coach him up. And so you start right there, and then you have Domantas Sabonis. You have to start somewhere. So let's be real. Without talent, Kings aren't going anywhere. They'd still have to get more talent. But I think Mike Brown knows how to relate to superstars. He knows how to relate to a community. And I think this is a really good hire for the Sacramento Kings, a really, really good dude.
There's a few things in there that I want to dive a little bit deeper into. One of them, as you said, like Mike Brown's going to, his smile's going to brighten up the room, and it's not going to be surprising at all to see the guys welcome him with open arms and for him to win over that locker room, especially with some of the guys in there that are ready and willing to play defense, like a Davion Mitchell, like a Dante DiVincenzo. But the Kings have, like I mentioned earlier, their culture of losing has been so bad for so long that we've been looking for a, some fans have said from a player perspective, almost like a Draymond Green type personality, an aggressive type personality, someone who's going to instill some accountability. And there have been levels of accountability in Sacramento, but none good enough to break the Kings out of this culture. So yeah, Mike Brown is going to come in with that smile. He's going to come in with that reputation. He's going to come in well-respected around the league. But do you think Mike Brown could be a guy that when he needs to pull De'Aaron Fox aside and say, hey, I know you're a max player, but dude, you got to start playing some defense or we're not going to go anywhere. Or he can hold that locker room accountable to where not only will they like him, they will respect him.
Absolutely. I mean, this guy goes back and forth with Draymond Green. It's almost sacrilegious. You know what Draymond Green's going to bring to the table. He's a volcano at times, man. You never know. He's on a 10 or a 1,000. So this is a guy, Mike Brown, who's coached up Draymond Green, have gone back and forth with him. He'll take Jordan Poole to the site like he did in game three. Like, hey, young fella, relax a little bit. You're over dribbling. You're moving too fast. Just let the game come to you. I'm going to put my arm around you, but I'm going to give you this wisdom here. He's able to do that with the youngsters as well and the veterans. I mean, this is a guy who had to step in for Steve Kerr and coach up Kevin Durant, Draymond Green, Klay Thompson, and Stephen Curry. No matter what you say, it's not easy coaching superstars. So I think he definitely has the ability to do that, to take De'Aaron Fox and say, hey, this is how you win. This is winning basketball. This is what you do. Let me teach you that. And you think about the culture cleansing in Cleveland, even bringing him to the Golden State Warriors, it was a breath of fresh air. Have an assistant like Mike Brown to handle the rotations, to handle the allotment of minutes, to let Steve Kerr know, like, hey, maybe we should put this guy in instead of that guy. And he has Steve Kerr's ear. So I think Mike Brown is going to be great. The Popovich angle is great. And then look at what he did for the Nigerian national team. All right. Mm-hmm. All of a sudden, they beat the Team USA. I know it was an exhibition, but think about what he did for that program and for Nigeria basketball. So, Mike Brown, look, the media is going to love him. The fan base is going to love him. I think he's going to put his foot down and let these guys go, hey, look, y'all have lost for 16 straight years. You guys haven't sniffed the playoffs. You either listen to me or we're all going to be gone in Sacramento. You know what I'm saying? So, it's either or, but I don't think he has to, like, rule with the hammer fist. You know what I'm saying, Matt? Like, he's just going to go up there. He's going to brighten up the room and let these guys know how to win. And he has plenty of experience in doing that. So holding guys accountable, Mike Brown will do that up there in Sacramento. There's no doubt. And I think they need that. But they also need other people not to get involved. And that's the messiness here with Sacramento. Is the owner going to get involved in Vivek Ranadive? Where's the GM at? You know, what's going on there with Monty McNair? So, like, you cannot – you got to let him do what he does, because the same thing will happen in Sacramento if other outside forces get involved, where the leaking happens, where all of a sudden, oh, well, GM said this or the owner said that. That has to stop. If you're going to hire Mike Brown to bring a guy with that credibility, with that resume, the outside stuff that ruins a franchise, that has to stop, Matt. That has to stop immediately.
Another thing that you said that he and Mike Brown has learned a lot over the last 6 years under Steve Kerr, and we could see maybe a different style as a head coach than what he did with Cleveland and LA in his last couple of stops. But I'm kind of a two-part question here. One is, what do you think he's taken the most from his time working with Kerr in Golden State? And then what did he bring to Golden State, and how did he improve that program? And what did he do for Steve Kerr that's making Kerr say, man, saying goodbye to him, it's going to be hard to lose him?
Yeah, I think the first part, let's have to tackle that first part of the question. What did he learn from Steve Kerr? I think number one, patience. All right. Number one, patience. And number two, how to relate better with superstars. I think that's important in this league. If you don't relate to your superstars, we'll see these superstars get coaches fired. I mean, how many coaches have LeBron James gotten fired? You know, how many teams have James Harden now set hopped on because he doesn't like a coach, or he doesn't like a GM, or he doesn't like a program? I think he's learned patience from Steve Kerr. And how to, you know, the evolution of the three-point basketball. Like, think about when Mike Brown was a head coach, the three ball wasn't as embraced as it is now. Now it's all threes everywhere, three and D, threes and layups, you know, and the people ignore their range. I think he'll take not only the evolution of the three ball, but also learn, hey, don't necessarily ignore the mid-range jumper. De'Aaron Fox, you have a great pull-up 15-foot jumper. Go ahead and use that. I'm all good for it. Get a great shot. And I think patience, the evolution of the three ball, and learning to take a great shot, not just a good shot, a great shot. He'll take that from Steve Kerr and move forward with that. Now, the second part is, you know, what did he add to the Golden State Warriors? I think he added another voice in the room, another guy guys could respect, because Steve Kerr, think about his first year. Alvin Gentry's on the sideline. Luke Walton's on the sideline. Alvin becomes a head coach. Luke later becomes a head coach. You know that up in Sacramento, and the Laker fans know that as well. So you get a head coach who's on the sideline who also knows about the game and has also won. So I think he's taught Steve Kerr some defensive principles. You know, hey, you know what? Let's use this junk defense right now. Hey, you know what? Let's trap this guy right now. You know what? Let's throw this guy in for 5 minutes and steal a stretch here and flip this basketball game. So I think they're going to miss him tremendously. We don't know what's going to happen with Kenny Atkinson with the Golden State Warriors. Mm-hmm. I know Luke Walton was around. He was at game three of the Warriors and Grizzlies. Maybe Luke comes back. Maybe Ivan comes back. But it's going to be a tough replacement for Mike Brown because the player development as well with some of these youngsters. I could Jordan Poole, where Mike Brown has really had his hands into that alongside Chris DeMarco. So they'll miss Mike Brown, no doubt. And that positive energy, man. You can't positive energy, I think, is big time. Now, I know a lot of people say, oh, man, what is this, sunshine and rainbows? We're playing for medals or whatnot. No. You need positive energy because that helps set the culture. When you're always positive and you're always helping, you're always keeping it real, that helps, and the Warriors are going to miss them for that.
Today's episode of the Locked On Kings podcast brought to you by Prize Picks. Prize Picks is the number one way to play daily fantasy NBA. And that means you can keep playing it right now, even though the regular season is over, even though the Kings season has long been over. There's still basketball going on, playoff basketball going on. That means you can enjoy it with Prize Picks. The way Prize Picks works, you get 2 to 5 players, or you pick 2 to 5 players and an over-under on one of their number projections. You can win up to 10 times on any entry, and it's just you versus the projected numbers. You're not playing anybody else. Entries can be made in 60 seconds or less. It's that easy. Prize Picks is safe. They offer fast withdrawals. You can use their award-winning app on both the App Store and Google Play. And the way it works, it offers any prop that you can think of, from like points scored to rebounds or steals. Prize Picks allows multi and mixed sports entries. So while you're betting on an NBA playoff game, you can also be betting on an MLB baseball game right now. They don't just have the NBA, they have MLB, NFL, college basketball, college football, soccer, MMA, and so much more. For a limited time, Prize Picks is an exclusive no-brainer of an offer for all Locked On Kings listeners. You can get $50 for free if the player in your first entry scores a single point. But you have to use promo code NBA to cash in on that offer. Again, promo code NBA, player scores a single point, it's $50 right there, no questions asked. That's the number one way to play daily fantasy sports. That is Prize Picks. Today's episode of the Locked On Kings podcast is brought to you by Athletic Greens. AG1 is one of the best ways to get healthy. What is the stuff? Well, with one delicious scoop of AG1, you're absorbing 75 high-quality vitamins, minerals, whole food source superfoods, probiotics, and adaptogens to help you start your day right. It's a special blend of ingredients that supports your gut health, your nervous system, your immune system, your energy, recovery, focus, and aging. All of these things covered by Athletic Greens AG1. My favorite thing about it, it supports better sleep quality and supports mental clarity and alertness. That's huge for the hours that I work. Athletic Greens uses the best of the best products based on the latest science, with constant product iterations and third-party testing. And you would think something like this is expensive. Look, it's expensive to eat healthy. Athletic Greens is affordable. It costs you less than $3 a day. You're investing in your health, and it's cheaper than your cold brew habit. It's cheaper than getting all the different supplements by yourself and trying to make it yourself. You're investing in an all-in-one nutritional insurance for your body. And to make it easy, Athletic Greens is going to give you a free 1-year supply of immune-supporting vitamin D and 5 free travel packs with your first purchase. All you have to do is visit athleticgreens.com/NBA Network. Again, that's athleticgreens.com/NBA Network to take ownership over your health and pick up the ultimate daily nutritional insurance. I'm not sure how familiar you are with the history of the Kings coaches. Mike Brown is now coach number 12 since Rick Adelman was fired in 2006, which is just rough, and it's all been a blur. It feels like it should be more somehow. But people are already saying, and I've heard you mention D'Lo and KC, they've been talking about this extensively on ESPN 1320. Mike Brown is already the best head coach that the Kings have had since Rick Adelman. And you look at his coaching record that he brings in. You look at the accolades that he has. Also, you look at the fact that no Kings coach has lasted more than 3 seasons. That was Dave Yeager out of those 11, now 12 names. Do you agree with that statement? Like, Mike Brown is the best coach that the Kings have had since Rick Adelman, and he'll probably be backing that up, hopefully.
I don't know if I say he's the best coach, because our guy Mike Malone in Denver, really good, and Vivek screwed that up. Vivek, I know, you know, from what I've heard, Vivek was told not to fire Mike Malone. And then 24 hours later, they fired Mike Malone. And then you bring in George Karl, who wanted to, oh, hey, you know what? I could go work with DeMarcus Cousins. And then, you know, he gets a job and he wants to trade DeMarcus Cousins. I mean, so Dave Yeager was really good up there. Yeah. He was really good up there, but you could tell he just kind of got fed up with everything that was happening up there. So he's up there. I think he does bring that credibility because Mike Malone and Dave Yeager, you know, Dave Yeager gets fired from Memphis. Mike Brown has done a lot in this league. He's been in this league for over 20 years, learning from the Popoviches, learning from the Kerrs. I think he's up there. And all of a sudden, you get a guy who's been on the sideline of some championship teams, two organizations that he's been part of that have won championships. He goes up north. I was actually surprised, Matt, full disclosure. I was like, man, Mike Brown's really going to take that job? Because I've done a lot of interviews with Mike Brown, and he was pretty happy as an assistant coach. He loves his Harley. He's getting on his motorcycle. He loves getting out there on the motorcycle and flying around, going up to Napa. I was a little surprised he took the job, to be honest with you. I thought maybe he was overqualified for the job and Sacramento would have to go elsewhere. So he's definitely up there as being the best hire for Sacramento because nobody knew about Mike Malone. Let's be honest. He was an assistant with the Warriors. Really didn't know much about him. Dave Yeager, we knew he took the Memphis team to the playoffs, but we're like, how good is it? More Zeebo, Gasol? Is it really Dave Yeager? And then, of course, it wasn't like, and also Lionel Hollis' team because he was coaching that team for Yeager. So, you know, I do think this is a really good hire for Sacramento. One of the best hires since Adelman was fired. There's no doubt about that.
You know, you brought up Mike Brown and his desire to take this job or if he'd even be interested in this job. And I got to be honest with you. I was surprised, too, that there are a lot of names that I'm sure it's amazing when there's only 30 NBA jobs and you have names out there that are like, nah, you know what? I'm good. And I know a lot of people look at the King situation as going, that's just setting me up to fail. So hopefully Brown is able to change that culture and turn things around. I don't know if you've heard anything about this, Bonte. One of the names that I liked a lot, potentially, who would have been interested in the job was Kenny Atkinson. He was not on the list that the Kings interviewed, period. And there were rumblings and reports, not necessarily reports. Sam Amick was talking about the possibility of Atkinson not even being interested in the position. Do you know anything about that?
Well, that's funny because I remember midway through the season, I'm not going to say who I talked to. It's funny you mentioned Sam Amick. Shout out to Sam Amick. I love him and his work, what he does at The Athletic. But I did hear that Kenny Atkinson wasn't line for the Sacramento midway through the season. I thought Kenny Atkinson to Sacramento, slam dunk. He's going to go up there up I-80. So I was actually surprised he was not on that list because I heard rumblings midway through the year. Like I just mentioned, I'm surprised Mike Brown took the job because I didn't know he wanted to leave that post as an assistant coach. Maybe he wants a new challenge, new money, get one more shot at being a head coach. And look, let's be real. If he takes the Kings to the playoffs, you might as well build the statue right now and go to one.
He's immortalized.
He's eating for free up there all day long, 24/7 for the rest of his life. Mm-hmm. But I was actually surprised Kenny wasn't on that list. I thought Kenny was in line for that job, man. I thought this was a pit stop for him with the Golden State Warriors, and then boom, go up to Sacramento. So a little surprised by that. There's some things out there about Kenny that I've heard. Maybe he's too intense. Maybe Sacramento doesn't need that. You know what I'm saying? He did. Now, give Kenny credit. He flipped the Brooklyn Nets. Mm-hmm. He flipped them. And, you know, Kyrie did what Kyrie does, which is get people basically 86 out of their job. So, Kenny Atkinson, I thought was for sure going to be a slam dunk hire for the Sacramento Kings. Actually surprised he didn't make the cut. Mm-hmm.
You brought up Mike Brown learning from Steve Kerr how to manage stars. And he spent time with LeBron and Kobe, like we've talked about, too. So much of the importance of this job is what he's able to do with De'Aaron Fox. And Fox has, there are a lot of critics, especially here in Sacramento, with how Fox handled himself this season, with how Fox appeared to take a significant step backwards, especially with Tyrese Halliburton here. And then it looked like he was able to revitalize the season after the Tyrese Halliburton trade. I'm on the side of, I understand Fox's frustration at the front office with back-to-back guards being drafted, him not feeling he's getting any help. Suddenly, DeMontis Sabonis, who's easily the best player he's ever played with, comes in, and now he's feeling a little bit better. But I do understand the criticism towards Fox, too, of these slow starts that he gets off to every single season. You can't have him pick up his game and get going when the Kings are already 8 to 10 games under 500. So I'm curious how Mike Brown is going to be able to unpack that. And the Kings are wanting to Fox to get to that all-star status. And offensively, he, of course, could do more, like hitting a three-point shot. But if De'Aaron isn't going to commit to playing defense and leading by example defensively, I have a hard time believing that Mike Brown is going to get the rest of the locker room to do so. What do you think Brown could do with De'Aaron?
Yeah, well, that's the start of it, right? You have to go sit down with De'Aaron Fox and say, look here, young fella, you have the potential to be an all-star. You're 24 years old. You got your first big-time contract, all right, after your rookie deal. This is your team. I understand what happened in the past because I do agree that the Kings, they give De'Aaron Fox the contract, Matt, and all of a sudden you draft Halliburton. I'm thinking to myself, okay, that's interesting. And you draft Davion Mitchell and was like, so how are you helping your young star? You're going to give them all this money. Don't you want to build around them? Don't you want more three and wing guys? Don't you want a shooter on the side of them, not named Buddy Hield, who doesn't give a damn about defense whatsoever? Don't you want to get a big who cares? I mean, by the way, Buddy Hield, when Sacramento came down to Chase Center the second time around, I've never seen a player who just did not give a damn about basketball. He was checked out. So that's my Buddy Hield spill. I don't want to waste your time on Buddy. I'm sure you talked a lot about him. But
too
he's
much.
Got yeah, I bet. De'Aaron Fox, Mike Brown's going to tell him, say, look here, man, I just coached up number 30. I just coached up number 3 in Jordan Poole. I just coached up number 11 in Klay Thompson. Look at the way these guys work. Look at what they want. Look at what their goals are. Because if you do win, the individual accolades will come. The All-NBA teams come when you win. The All-Star games come when you win. When you play on both sides of the court. And one thing about De'Aaron that I was very intrigued with when he came out of Kentucky, I said, man, this guy is not afraid to D up point guards. He will get into the passing lanes. He's cat quick, has great hands. I don't get how he's regressed defensively. Maybe it's because he just stopped caring. And I get it up there in Sacramento. It's been a mess. Last year, the last 2 years have just been an absolute dumpster fire with the Luke Walton situation, what happened with Alvin Gentry, GMs getting fired, Vivek Ranadive not really having a stamp of approval from everybody, not really knowing what he's doing. So De'Aaron Fox has to realize, like, look, man, this is my last chance to make something work in Sacramento. Let me hear from Mike Brown. And Mike Brown's going to say, look, man, we made Steph Curry a respectable defender. We helped make Klay Thompson a all-world defender. We help make Jordan Poole care about defense. You fall in line, you could be as good as these guys. Why? What's the excuse of De'Aaron Fox not being as good as Jordan Poole? Why can't De'Aaron Fox do what Jordan Poole does? Play make for his team, get into the lane, hit layups, average over 25 a game. He has that potential. So I think Mike can bring it out by saying, hey, look, I'm just going to pop in the tape. Here's number 30, here's 11, and here's 3. Look how they roll. This could be you, man. This could be you if you want it. And if he doesn't want it, well, guess what? Sacramento could trade him by midseason. It would suck because it would set back the franchise. But I'm sure Mike Brown's like, you know what? I'll just turn the keys over to Davion Mitchell because I know he cares. So if De'Aaron Fox doesn't care, that the rest of the players are going to look at the locker room and they're going to look at De'Aaron Fox and say, yo, it's time to get him out of there. Because I can look at this roster right now. I think Vincenzo cares. Comes from Villanova. Comes from Milwaukee. He cares. May not be the greatest guard in the world, little inconsistent with his shot, but he cares. Davion cares. Sabonis feels like he cares. So they're going to fall in line with Mike Brown. De'Aaron Fox has to fall in line. He has no choice. And I think Mike Brown will coax it out of him, man. I really do.
Well, that's where the culture needs to change too, because we've seen Fox join a long list of young players who come to Sacramento with a sparkle in their eye, believing that they can be the ones to create the change. And then the culture just infects them. And that's, we've seen Fox clamp down defensively. There was a game I watched him when Mike Conley was still with the Memphis Grizzlies and Conley was torching the Kings. And in the second half, I think Fox held him to just 4 or 6 points because he decided to take it personally a little bit. So maybe Mike Brown can bring that out of him.
Yeah, no, I think the guy could be a great two-way player. I argue with this with my co-host Joe Shasky, the Butcher, all the time. He's like, oh, I'm not impressed with De'Aaron Fox. I'm like, De'Aaron Fox is good. I really like De'Aaron Fox's game. I thought if he had that same tenacity he had every single game that he has when he sees Lonzo Ball on the other side of the floor, De'Aaron Fox would be an all-star. He plays again. He goes at Lonzo Ball hard because he wants to be the top dog in that draft class, the top point guard. Channel that same energy. But again, culture matters. Mike Brown has to come in and clean that culture up, but it also starts from the top. It feels like the GM isn't in good place, but it also has to start from the ownership. The ownership group has to empower the general manager and the head coach to do what they do. Vic Ranadive has to get his hands off of this organization and just sit back at courtside, watch the game, and relax and let the basketball people do the basketball things. You handle the business. You make sure you fill that stadium up again because people stop going to the game. Sacramento Kings fans, kind of like the A's fans, had their breaking point last season, I feel like, where they said the hell we're going to go to one center. It's the only show in town. We do not care. We'll sit our butts at home and watch you lose by 30. So it has to start from the top here. If Vivek Ranadive doesn't empower the GM and the head coach, the Kings are going nowhere, and culture matters. If the culture is right, De'Aaron Fox would be okay. He'll be all right. And I think Mike Brown is a perfect step for that, where he's like, look, man, I've been here before. I've been with the top organizations in the league. I see what works. I see what doesn't work. So I do believe De'Aaron Fox will fall in line, but also the ownership group has to help out as well.
Today's episode of Locked On Kings also brought to you by our friends at BetOnline. They continue to be the number one source for all your betting needs and sports information. You can find all the latest odds, news, and sports developments, including this year's basketball playoffs, Major League Baseball scores, fights, and even next season's NLF futures. BetOnline is your continued source for all your sporting wagering information, from live betting to playoffs, esports, and more. There are so many things to bet on for the Sacramento Kings, even though the season has ended. Plus, their playoff lines in action better than anywhere else. Head to the website today. Use your mobile device to learn more about the trends and the action at BetOnline, where the game starts. Before I let you go, I gotta ask one more question, sneak one more question in for you. I talked about your colleague Kyle Madsen about this. We were chatting before this hire was made, when we were talking about Mike Brown and Mark Jackson being finalists. Of course, De'Aaron Fox needs to get better, but the Kings drastically have to improve this roster.
Yeah.
And that's now on Monty McNair's shoulders. Congratulations. You hired a head coach. Now the real work begins. You got to get in the trenches and fix this roster through the draft, through trades, through free agency, whatever, this season, because the Kings are trying to win right away. They got two years to impress Domantas Sabonis, basically. So you mentioned Jordan Poole. You brought him up multiple times. Again, I asked Kyle about this. Jordan Poole is playing out of his mind right now. Mm-hmm. I love how well he's playing with the Golden State Warriors. And I think a payday is coming his way. I think absolutely the Sacramento Kings would be interested in a player like Poole and what he could bring to Sacramento. My question for you is Jordan Poole, I mean, he's a great player. I'm not taking anything away from him. Is he a product of his environment? Like, Golden State molded him into that player, Kerr's system, playing with those stars, being held accountable by Green and Curry and Thompson? Or is this level that Jordan Poole's playing at, can you see him carrying that over, or maybe even building upon it outside of Golden State on a different roster where he is one of the guys?
Not right now. Still young, and I think he is a product of the system. Excuse me, Matt. But I also think he's legit. He's put in the work. All the reports you hear about him, he's the last one in the gym. He's the first one there. During a pandemic, he worked on his body where he got a lot stronger. And he worked and worked and worked. Think about his rookie year. Dude was shooting like 20% from three. It was ugly when they went 15-50 during a pandemic shortened season. And then the second year, he comes back, gets off to a horrible start. And then goes back to the G League in Orlando. And then he comes back and he averages 15 points the rest of the way. And it's like, okay, this guy really worked on his game. So he's legit. He's a star, I believe, in this league. You saw him without Steph Curry the last 12 regular season games really take off, especially since March 1st when he averaged only 25 points per game. The system helps. There's no doubt. Kawhi Leonard, you don't think he learned from Tim Duncan, Tony Parker, and Manu Ginobili? That helps. That helps youngsters, man. You don't think Kobe learned from Ron Harper, Shaquille O'Neal, Brian Shaw, Horace Grant, Robert Horry, and all those veterans? It's a luxury to be a young player in this league and go to a team that has championship DNA and young and veterans there. So I think that helps. Magic Johnson, go back to 1980. We're watching Winning Time on HBO. Magic Johnson goes to the Lakers. Heck, they got Norm Nixon and Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. That's a perfect situation. 2 years later, James Worthy gets drafted number one overall. He's playing with Magic and Kareem. So it helps going to a veteran-laden team. And that's why I think Jordan Poole, it's a product of the system, but give him his due as well. He put in the work to become this player, but there's no doubt that playing alongside Steph and Clay and Draymond Green has helped Jordan Poole tremendously in his career. So is he ready to carry a franchise right now? I'm not sure about that. Maybe in 2 to 3 years, there's definitely a chance for him to take the torch from Steph and Clay and carry this franchise into the future.
Bonte, this can't be a one-time thing, my man. Thank you so much for doing this. Hope to get you back on Locked On Kings in the future, maybe before a Kings-Warriors regular season, and then eventually playoffs. I'll tell you what, I would love nothing more than the Warriors to be the number one seed next year, the Kings be the 8 seed. Even if the Warriors sweep the Kings, I don't care. The Kings are in the playoffs. That's 2 home playoff games. We'll take that, and then Mike Brown can build upon that the year after. But I appreciate you, my man. Thanks so much for doing this.
Hey, man, that'd be a lot of fun. Maybe I could get back up to Golden 1 Center. Hasn't worked out over the last couple of years. I know I went to the California Classic to see Jonathan Kuminga up there in Sacramento. Mm-hmm. Been to some tournament games up there at Golden 1. Got to see the Golden 1, the Warriors Kings, when Steve Kerr got kicked out of the game the day before the Super Bowl. Remember that game? DeMarcus Cousins went crazy. So, I don't hate the Sacramento Kings. I wish the best for them, man. That fan base is loyal to the soil. 16 years without a playoff berth. Mm-hmm. I felt it. I went through it as a Warrior fan. You basically adopt another team. Mm. You adopt another team and adopt another star just so you could be intrigued into the playoffs, knowing that your team's not going to be on national television, knowing that your team's not going to be in the playoffs. So I feel for Kings fans. I think Mike Brown is the right hire when you look at all the list of candidates. Could they have gotten more creative and maybe not recycled a coach? Maybe. But how would that have sat with Kings fans? They need something now. The patience is worn thin. You got some nice building blocks there. You got some money. Hopefully they can make some moves in the draft and get better. So hopefully this is the start of something special for the Sacramento Kings. And Matt, it was a pleasure, man. This is a fun podcast. Go Kings.
Big thank you to Bonte again for joining me on the Locked On Kings podcast. Can't wait to have him back on. I want to hear your thoughts on some of the things that Bonte and I discussed, some of the many great things that Bonte said. You can send them to me at MattGeorgeSack on Twitter. Email me, MattGeorgeSports@gmail.com, or leave your thoughts in the YouTube comment section down below. And really quick, I wanted to share this with you. I'm not going to read this whole article for you. In fact, I tweeted it out. You can go and see it on my Twitter at MattGeorgeSack. This was an article written in the Sacramento Bee when Rick Adelman was hired as the Kings head coach. And here's the headline. He's no marquee figure, but Adelman is respected as an NBA coach. Sound familiar to Mike Brown's situation? If you go through this article, there are a lot of things, not necessarily direct similarities or direct comparisons to being between Adelman and Brown, but the tone, the way that the Adelman hire was perceived in Sacramento, very similar to those who are maybe a little bit underwhelmed with the Mike Brown hire. So go and check that article out. Go and give it a read. It's really, really interesting to find those similarities. And look, if Mike Brown can turn into what Rick Adelman was able to be in Sacramento, then the Kings are in really, really good shape. I appreciate you joining me on today's episode of Locked On Kings. Can't wait to have you join me on the next one. Until then, my name is Matt George. You have been listening to the Locked On Kings podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.